I am delighted to be joined by Shirley Smith. I missed her last month. She wasn't here for obvious reasons. And in fact, there was a week or two when I wasn't here as well. So we're both at fault on this one, you know. And as you know, Shirley is the Family Resource Initiative Project Coordinator for the All Family Resource Service. And today, Shirley, you're going to talk about something. It's something that used to always strike me when I was in my job before this, is that there's an awful lot of people who find Christmas very, very tough.
Yeah, so hello Declan and everybody that's listening. Just this time of year, I think it can be an emotional time of year if you've had a tough year or you've lost somebody or there's been a massive change in your personal life, and it we're bombarded really with on the media, Christmas movies, songs, you know, on radio, that of this projection of a happy family time and an abundance of, you know, everybody getting the gift that they want and all this kind of stuff. And it's on top of that, then you can have children who are extremely excited. So they're full of beans and finding it hard to settle because they're waiting for Christmas. So I just think it's an emotional time of year. So today we're going to look at ways to help your child and yourself over the Christmas period. And just to let parents know that you're not alone. Like, you know, there are other families experiencing this time of year as an emotional time of year for them too. So just for people not to feel isolated. So I just thought we'd give some tips today. My number one key tip, I suppose, really is to be kind and gentle to yourself as a parent. Because I think we need to have compassion for ourselves in order to fill a space so that we're there for our children and their emotional overspills. So find ways to give yourself some TLC in the run up to Christmas. And my other kind of two main points is plan ahead, plan what you can, and talk. Talking and giving space to talking is a great way of offsetting any challenges you might experience. So, like, for instance, if you're separated and you haven't had the discussion about Christmas and access and when are your children going to be with one parent or the other, or even with extended family. So sometimes parents, children, when they're part of a separated family situation, they might have less time with extended family throughout the year. So it's important to kind of think of those things. They might be missing relatives. So the ideal is to plan 3 or 4 months before Christmas, but that's the ideal. But if you haven't thought of it beforehand, start planning now and communicating that to the children so that they know what's going to happen and who they're going to see and when.
Yeah, because children don't like uncertainty, sure they don't. No. So they like to know what's actually happening. And we don't always as adults think of telling them.
No, exactly. And we might think that we're helping them by not saying, even if it's difficult news to share. So even if it is that they aren't going to see someone, it's better to say that now and to be honest about that. Because once they know, you can they can plan and start to look forward to what is going well. So it is about focusing on what they will be doing rather than where they won't be going. Do you know?
I do.
The other thing I would say is if it's your first year without a family member, to sit down and have the chat with your children, if they're old enough, obviously, plan with your children how you're going to manage Christmas time and talking through how you're going to be there for each other. Talk about all feelings being normal.
But that sometimes we'll say for an adult can be tough to sit down with a child and talk about grief and who's not there, granny or granddad or daddy or mammy, whoever's not there, because you're afraid you'll almost break down yourself in front of the child. And we're always afraid, oh, if I do that, you know, we're afraid of that.
It's okay if your children see you cry.
Yeah.
You make it okay for them to express their emotions, so not to worry so much about that. Barnardo's does have a bereavement helpline. And they can contact the bereavement helpline if they're looking for a little bit of guidance around wording or anything like that. But it is important, I suppose, before Christmas to kind of have the chat and say, look, we might find times that we'll feel sad over Christmas, and that that's okay, and that all feelings are normal, and it's okay to feel sad. And then let them know that you're there for them, and who else in their family or friends group is there for them. So, like, they might feel that they don't want to say it to you in case they make you cry or whatever as a parent. But letting them know, like, if there's granny or granddad, or if there's an aunt or uncle, or even a friend of the family, telling them who you do give them permission to talk to is just as important. Because, again, we're focusing on what supports are there rather than who's missing, do you know? And if they become overwhelmed, perhaps they might want to look at photographs, talk about memories they have, or even writing that person a letter. Whatever they feel is going to help them at this difficult time, and exploring those things with them so that they can prepare. And it helps them, I suppose, process their grief.
And that would hold for all age groups, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
Now, I know the sort of, you know, you're talking about the teens, and that they might talk to an auntie or an uncle or something, or a favourite auntie or uncle or something like that. The younger ones probably wouldn't, but it's still the talking is the important bit.
Yeah, and even, like, you know, maybe suggesting it, do they want to go to the grave? Do they want to bring, you know, a Christmas decoration or a Christmas ornament or whatever to the grave, you know, those kind of things. And they can really help us, particularly young children. They can really help them to feel like they're doing something. But it's that you know your child best. And I suppose it's just exploring the options of what would help them and talking about what ways they can help themselves is just as important. Then for ourselves, it's very hard for us to give if we are not topping ourselves up as parents. So to be, I suppose, the best parent we can for our children, it's important that we're gentle and patient with ourselves. And it might help to think about what's best for your well-being during Christmas and to prioritise what you need. So, for example, if there's particular family members that you find are quite toxic for you, or, you know, stress you out, plan ahead again, limit your time with them. Is there a way to do that? You know, maybe it is saying no, maybe self-love is saying no, and is the kindest way for you to have a good Christmas with your children. And if that's the case, then get that out of the way now, do you know? Send that message that you can't make arrangements for whatever reason this year.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because I think we always feel because it's Christmas, we have to be sort of nice and kind and really good to everybody, even though so-and-so gets on our whatever, gets, you know, that you feel, oh, well, I better make an effort at Christmas. But sometimes maybe you're better off not to make the effort at Christmas.
Yeah, particularly if it's damaging to your well-being.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'd say is for some people, they are, yes, they're parenting, but they're in a blended family, or they're in a situation where they're living with another generation and might find that all a bit much over Christmas. Plan now ways that you can top up your self-care, getting out for a walk, taking you and your children maybe to visit a friend, going for a bath. You know, whatever it is that gives you time out, like if you are all living in under the same roof and that can't change, particularly thinking about parents who are separated who may be living in the same house. The atmosphere is kind of difficult, but you're putting on a smile and an effort for your children, but it's difficult to be in the house. Give yourself regular breaks of time out and ways that you can do that, and think about those things now, I suppose, and write them out for yourself. Letting yourself experience your own feelings. So what we were saying earlier about it's all right to cry. Like, it's okay if our children, you know, see that we're upset, because then we give them permission to be upset. And just saying to them, look, I'll be okay in a minute. I actually feel better after I've had a cry, you know, or I've got X friend that's going to help me with this. So I've got this. Don't worry. You know, so once they're reassured that you're going to be okay, that's all right. And it actually helps you as a parent then for that feeling to go away and not maybe let that difficult feeling to maybe not last as long, because you give it permission to be. And that's all right. And you know, if you're a parent who's separated and your children are having access with their other parent, you might feel lonely at home. So planning now, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to have a pamper day at home? Are you going to go visit a friend or a family member? You know, and thinking about those plans now for yourself so that that you're not lonely at home. The next thing then is, like, what do we do with children when they have big feelings? It can be, I suppose, for almost every child, Christmas is a time of experiencing lots of different emotions. So they can be really hyper and excited about good things that might be happening or that they hope to happen. And at the same time, you know, they might feel sad or down or be missing somebody. And you as a parent then could be on this roller coaster with your child on Christmas Day. So it's like really difficult. Sometimes children can get upset or annoyed, or adults actually, if they didn't get the gift they wanted or if they felt the gift didn't match up to their expectations. So you can have emotions coming at you from all sides. And I'd say for children who've experienced a difficult year, loss can be a really strong emotion for them. And when I say a difficult year, it could be that they've moved house or they've moved away from their friends group or they've changed schools and they're struggling a bit, you know. Because I suppose at Christmas we can get quite reflective and think about the year that we've just had. And children are no different, or they might have lost somebody, or, you know, they might have had change. The most important thing for children in these situations is to know that how they feel is completely normal and who's there for them when these feelings arise. So knowing that you've got somebody in your corner when you're feeling down, and if they're old enough, asking them if they'd like a hug, or, you know, maybe making them a hot chocolate or giving them a hot water bottle, you know, something that they can cuddle up to. You know, coming up to Christmas, I think it's also over the Christmas break, it's a good time to ask children and young people, like, when they're feeling difficult feelings like sadness or disappointment, what helps them, and helping them come up with a menu of ideas. Like, for some, it might be getting out for a walk or meeting their friend to play soccer or whatever it is, so that they've got a whole menu of ideas of things that help them feel topped up. What I'd say is, like, warm milky drinks, like hot chocolate's not a bad thing, because, you know, it's a comfort drink. You know, breathing exercises, hot water bottles, snuggly blankets, you know, all those kind of things kind of make us feel like we're getting a hug, and they do the exact same for children. So maybe having a pamper box in your house, if you've had a difficult year, is not a bad thing. And just having the snuggly blanket and the hot water bottle or whatever, it's so that it's to hand if somebody's upset on the day. They're not bad things to have in your house. And yeah, it's just kind of like writing it down with your child and sticking it on their wall so that they have a menu of ideas if they're feeling a bit down or a bit sad, or finding that they have a difficult emotion that they want to try and free themselves of. And that will really help them.
Yeah, and people do sort of put themselves under enormous pressure, don't they, over Christmas? And I mean, I'm being sexist here, and I say women especially seem to want everything perfect, everything exactly right, and it's difficult. We all put ourselves under pressure for Christmas.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying go gentle. Like, we're all human, and, you know, if something isn't quite up to, you know, there's no... perfection is kind of like setting yourself up for failure, nearly. There will be things go wrong, and just it's easier to try and ride that wave if we just be gentle with ourselves and be kind. For anybody that's worried about money and stressing about that, take a look back on the Cry FM podcasts and look at the When Money is Tight one, because there's some really good tips around you know, support that you can obtain at this time of year if that's the stressor. But yeah, and just like talk it out with friends, and, you know, just kind of like be there for each other.
And keep the lines of communication open, keep talking, and it'll pass, as they say.
And then we do have families, I suppose, particularly now with so many Ukrainian families moved into to Yall, and families from all over, I suppose. We really are a multicultural town now. For some children, they don't celebrate Christmas, and they might feel a bit left out or a bit different at this time of year. So a bit lonely because they're not participating in the conversations that their friends are having. So I think it's really important to for parents who are in that situation to help your child to see the holiday time as family time, as time together, as time off school. Again, focusing on the positive. What is it rather than what it isn't? And maybe chat with them and make plans about what you're going to do with your days off over the school holidays so that they've something to look forward to, but also they have something to discuss when they're at school, you know, if it so that they're not feeling left out. For families, just generally, on the Barnardo's website, if you Google heart, mind and body, you will see come across a page which gives a load of low-cost, no-cost ideas for children and parents on ways to support your emotional well-being. So if you're feeling stuck, you know, there is ideas there, because sometimes if we think, oh, I'm a blank, then that's somewhere that you can go. And also, over the Christmas period, not to forget that there are, like, emergency services are open if you need them. The Samaritans, Pieta House, Rape Crisis Centre, Women's Aid, Men's Aid, Childline, and the HSE text line for anybody that's feeling down. And they are open Christmas Day, Stephen's Day, those days that you might think all services are closed. They're not. There are support still out there. And it's important to reach out. That's what they're there for. And, you know, they want to be there for you. So don't feel that you can't.
Pick up the phone. And also, as I say, the South Dock and the those sort of services are also available all the time. Look, Shirley, as always, and especially for the whole year, I want to thank you. Thanks a million for all you've done for us. I find your talks absolutely fascinating. We will put up today's as a podcast as well.
Thank you so much, Declan.